This is Digital Story Podcast number 754, September 1st, 2020. Today's theme is 5 Easy Ways to Edit Movies Recorded with Your Camera. I'm Derek Story. Practically every camera on the market today captures video in addition to still pictures. Yay! But capture is not the roadblock for most photographers turned movie makers. It's the editing that slows them down. I can help with that. Today, I'll show you 5 different apps that make it easy to trim up your clips and share them with the world. And the best part is, you probably already own them. I hope you enjoy the show. So for a while, I was wondering about the actual need of having all this video capability with our still cameras. Of course, you know, that's a little biased me saying that right there because they're just cameras. But around the world, a lot of folks are really looking at these things to shoot video. And then, oh yeah, they take pictures as well. And that is a real thing. Studies are showing that. The manufacturers are saying that's what the demand is. So this is being driven by the consumer as well as those that design the cameras. And then I start thinking about my own work and how often I do fire up the video mode on my Olympus or on my Fujifilm camera. And I go, yeah, it's a real thing, isn't it? And then I've been getting mail from listeners and they're going, you know, especially now when we're sheltered in a lot more, can't go outside as much and are exploring new features on our cameras. One of the features that they are exploring is making videos and then sharing them with people. You know, most photographers and most artists have a variety of different interests. And some of those interests are very nicely explained by making a video about how to do this or how to do that. It's essentially what I do for a living, right? So why not everyone else as well? Why not? I was looking at, you know, this sort of conundrum that comes up with, you know, okay, capturing images is one thing. And, you know, taking video is another. And then getting decent sound is another. And then once you get that video and have some decent sound, what do you do with it? I mean, do you have to go out and spend $299 to buy Final Cut or, you know, buy Adobe a video editing software? Or can you use something that you already have to do the basic things? And the basic things are really what most people need. At the very top of the list is trimming. Because a lot of times when we're shooting video ourselves, which we do most of the time, right? You know, the production crew is somewhere else and, you know, there we are and we've got to take care of everything ourselves. And trimming is the big deal, right? Because, you know, you start the video and then, you know, maybe the camera's on a tripod or whatever. And, you know, so you got to walk over and then you get in front of the camera and you start talking, doing your thing. And then when you finished saying what you're going to say, then you got to walk back over to the camera and turn it off. Well, you know, those bits on both ends. And even if you're doing handheld stuff, right, you press the button, all that, well, there's usually some rigmarole that goes on then. Those bits on both ends are the things that need to go away. And in fact, if we just get rid of those bits on both ends, we already have the meat of a pretty good video right there. So trimming is something that everyone needs to do. Everyone needs to trim. And if you're not trimming, then do not share your videos with other people, right? Unless they're just, you know, something fun like an iPhone video or something like that. Another very common request is being able to add videos together, you know, like video bits together to make one movie. People also like to be able to add a title or some sort of graphic to their movie, you know, so all these things are really nice to be able to do to take it from just a clip to something that's a little bit more of a presentation. And then when you've done that, you know, how can you share it? I mean, can you export it into a file format that works nice for YouTube or works nice for Facebook or whatever you happen to use to share your video? So these basic tasks do not require, you know, Final Cut 10 or another expensive video editing app. There are apps apps that you probably have on your computer right now that can handle most or all of these things. And that's what I'm going to talk about right now. I have five of them for you. And I'm going to start out with QuickTime. And QuickTime for the Mac. Now, QuickTime used to be for both Windows and Mac. And then around 2016 or so, Apple stopped officially supporting QuickTime for Windows, even though that latest version, that latest Windows version, 7.6 or 7.7, actually still works on Windows 10. So, but it's not officially supported. So I'm just going to talk about it for the Mac right now. I do have, you know, Windows apps too that we'll be talking about. So we'll talk about QuickTime for the Mac. But the player, not even QuickTime Pro, but the modern player that every Mac user has actually does a pretty good job of trimming movies, of stitching clips together, and then you can even move them around when they're on the timeline. And I don't think most people realize that you can do this. If you open the video clip that you shot with your camera, you know, you go to edit, there's trim right there, and then there's also a command to add clip at the end. And you go, well, why can't I add clip at the beginning? Well, you don't have to worry about that. Just add the clip at the end, the second movie. Because once it's added, then you can click on it and move it around. You can move it around. So you can move it to the beginning. You know, they're just trying to keep the menu simple there. But you can do all of this work in just the QuickTime Player. And then QuickTime Player also has excellent export options. You can either use the export command or you can use the share command. And the share command will allow you to go directly to your YouTube account or to Facebook. There's a lot you can do here. In fact, almost everything that most people need to do can be done with the QuickTime Player. And so it just takes a few minutes to look at that edit menu to figure out, you know, oh, okay, here's how you trim. And basically you just, I mean, they couldn't make it easier to tell you the truth. You click on trim video and you get these giant yellow handles on both ends. And all you got to do is move, you know, one giant yellow handle to, you know, where you want your video to start and the other giant handle to where you want your video to end. And then you click a button that says trim and you're done. Very nice thing. Now, the one thing I will say about if you're going to be doing stuff in QuickTime, when you export or whatever, it will actually save your original version just to be on the safe side because things can go wrong. I haven't had it happen, but I know they can. Make a duplicate of your video before you start editing it and just stash it away until you're done with the project and until you've reopened it to see that, you know, if you can go back and restore it and all that stuff. Just have a duplicate of your video or of your video clips before you start playing around with them on QuickTime Player. I don't think you'll have any missteps, but I would be very sad if you did. I'd be very sad. So go ahead and duplicate them, and then off to the races you go. You have it on your Mac right now. It can do a lot of stuff. All right, next one. Photos for Windows and Photos for the Mac. Both of the Photos apps on both platforms, and when I say Photos for Windows, I mean Windows 10. Windows 10 has a nifty video editor inside of Photos for Windows. It allows you to split and trim clips and do all sorts of stuff. It's actually very powerful. So what I did with the show notes is I put a link in the show notes to a tutorial for Windows users on how to trim and do video things with their Photos app. Just click on the link in the show notes and you'll see it. And it's called, here's a good article on editing video using Photos for Windows 10. It'll show you all the stuff that editor can do. Really nice. And you have it on your Windows machine right now. Mac users, they also have a Photos app. It's interesting. The Photos app will allow you to do quite a bit once you know how to work it. So when you have a video go into Photos for Mac OS, right away, you can trim it and you can extract frames out of it, which is really cool if you're shooting 4K because basically you can pull out very high-res still images out of it. But then if you want to start putting clips together in Photos for the Mac, then what you do is you trim up your clips and then you create a project, a slideshow project. You put those clips in the slideshow project, and then you can move them around. And basically what you're doing is you're making a slideshow with video clips, and it works quite well. It works quite well. And you can add music to it. You can add graphics, you know, titles and things like that. They have themes that you can work with. You can do Ken Burns transitions between the video clips. You can do a lot of really cool stuff. But you have to kind of think outside the box just a bit. And this will happen when we get to Lightroom as well. You have to think outside the box just a bit to get the most out of it. But again, you can trim the clips right there, you know, right next to the play bar, or right on the play bar. There's a little gear. You click on that, and trim video will be one of the commands that you can do. And then if you want to take multiple clips and put them together, create a slideshow project, put those clips in there, and go to town. And by the way, you can mix in still photos as well, right? So you can do a lot of stuff. So if you have stills and video, create a slideshow, you can make some really nice presentations. The Photos app for both Windows 10 and for the Mac works quite well for working on these projects. Again, stuff you already have. Now, the third one is Photos for iOS on the iPad. When they did iPadOS and they updated Photos as part of that, they really went nuts on the video end. I mean, it is really good. And a lot of people like to work on the iPad anyway. What you can do with Photos for iOS on the iPad is not only can you trim, which is, yay, great, everyone needs to do that. You can adjust tone, you can adjust color, you can add filters. You can crop, you can vignette, you can do all sorts of stuff. And you're going, gee, this is just like a full-on video editor. And in a lot of ways, it is. And if Photos for iOS is connected to your Mac via iCloud, then you could do this really interesting workflow where just real quickly you trim up all your videos on your Mac and you know, iCloud will save them. And then you open them in Photos for iOS on the iPad, and you can do all the stuff that you want to do, tone and color and effects and all that. Of course, you know, they're automatically saved. And then if you want, go back to the Mac and create a slideshow, and you put all these different clips together and you have a real presentation. Between the two of them, there's a lot you can do. And if you just use the iPad, you can clean up your clips very nicely and adjust them. I have actually used the iPad to do clip work that, you know, instead of firing up Final Cut 10 on my big computer in my studio, just on the road, just do all the clip work while I'm, you know, just screwing around in a hotel and not have to do anything when I get home. It's been really nice. So Photos for iOS is really powerful, really good. And if you're not familiar with the tools and you're a LinkedIn Learning member or lynda.com member, I include that video work in my latest training on Photos for macOS. I talk about both macOS and Photos for iOS in this latest Photos training on both LinkedIn and learning.com. So if you like watching videos on this and you want to see how it's done, just go there, look at that training. It's the essential training for Photos on Catalina, right? That's the one, Catalina and iOS. Okay, so that is a very nice workflow. And it's funny, I have Final Cut 10 and I have, you know, a lot of tools for working on video because I do a fair amount. But sometimes I have to tell you, I just want to work on the iPad and use Photos for iOS because it's so much fun. Fourth one, Lightroom Classic for Mac and Windows. And the classic version of Lightroom actually has very good editing tools. Now, it's funny on how you work with them. So when you bring a video into the library, Lightroom Classic will recognize it right away. And, you know, that's all nice. And when you're in Quick Develop, you can, you know, adjust tone and color, you know, all the basic sort of things that you would imagine you could do in Quick Develop. But if you go to the regular develop module, you can't do anything. It'll say, oh, well, this is a movie and can't use the develop module for this movie. Well, that seems kind of funny because it seems like I've seen people do more. So I did a little research, and I have this excellent tutorial in the show notes by Julianne Cost, who basically what she does is she extracts a frame from the video, which is very easy to do, right? So you just take a frame out. You open that in the Develop module. Then you have all of the tools available in Lightroom Classic. Make all the adjustments you want. So you could do things like desaturate, or you could isolate colors, or, you know, all the stuff that you can do in that very powerful Develop module in Lightroom. And then all you have to do is when you're done working on that single frame, you just sync it with the clip. You just sync the changes. You don't know, you know, when you sync the changes, the edits, you know, it brings up that menu and you just say, yeah, check all, do everything here. And everything that you did to that still photo in Lightroom Classic will be applied to the video clip. That is really cool. I mean, it's so you can do some very nice stuff in Lightroom Classic. Now, unfortunately, Lightroom CC, you know, the online version, the Creative Cloud version, doesn't have any video editing at all. So this is only for Classic users, but a lot of people that listen to this show have Lightroom Classic and prefer it anyway to the Creative Cloud version of Lightroom. So if you have that, Mac or Windows, first check out this tutorial that I linked to in the show notes and see what Ms. Koss has to say. And then, you know, fire up some video in there and see what you can do. It's pretty darn good. It's pretty darn good. All right. And then the fifth one, the last one in this group of stuff that you probably already have on your computer, is iMovie for macOS and iOS. Now, a lot of folks haven't looked at iMovie in a long time. So it's been around for, you know, years, right? And the early versions of iMovie were actually pretty good, but they weren't always as intuitive as people wanted them to be, especially for an iApp. You know, I thought, I look at it, it's a little confusing. Well, iMovie has improved a lot over the years. So if you haven't looked at it for a few years, I think it's time to look at it again because it is quite good. And not only is it powerful, but it has some just neat things that it does that other apps don't do. And in fact, to demonstrate one of these things, it can do movie trailers. And the movie trailers are really fun. They're like only, you know, 1 to 2 minutes long. They have a ton of templates to choose from, all these different themes that you can do. And then it just walks you through the process. I mean, it just like basically drop a picture here, drop a video clip here, type in what you want here, you know, just that kind of stuff. You can do it in, you know, half an hour. You can create this trailer and then it puts it all together for you. And when it plays, it's really fun. I mean, it's very fun. So I put a link in the show notes for this to a trailer that I created using the latest version of iMovie for my new title. And I'll talk about the title in a bit here. How to Get Started with Vinyl Records. That title is out now. It's available on the Nimble Photographer in the Nimble Photographer online courses area, in the workshops area. So I created a trailer for that, which I thought would be great fun, and I used iMovie for that. This is something that I don't think Final Cut has this. In fact, I'm pretty sure it doesn't. So this is something that I could do in iMovie that I couldn't even do in Final Cut if I wanted to. So those are five apps that you probably have, you know, at least three of these already, that if you're shooting video, then, you know, use one of these apps to clean up your stuff and make it look good. Now, as your comfort level increases using whatever you use from this mix here, then it'll be easier for you to push into more sophisticated apps such as Final Cut, because you already have a little bit of the language down. You already have a little feel for it down. You already kind of know what you need to do to your particular content to get it in the shape that you want. And then, you know, when you export out, almost all of these apps have nice export commands that allow you to, you know, they'll say, hey, do you want to export out in, you know, full HD? Do you want to export out, you know, for YouTube? Do you want to export out for Vimeo or whatever? And then they'll take care of all the particulars for you. Now, a lot of times when you're going to a particular social network, such as Facebook or YouTube or Vimeo, that'll be in the share menu. And then the export menu is more for taking the file with all the edits that you've done and then, you know, just saving it to the hard drive, you know, to the desktop. Now, one thing I will say is that video is the only place in recent history where I have lost content. I've lost content from not backing up my libraries or not backing up whatever, because video apps, all video apps will go wonky sooner or later on you. So one of the things that I highly recommend is that if you're working on a project that's important to you, just keep backing up. Back up as you go. Just have an extra hard drive for your content and just back it up so that if something does go wrong, then, you know, you won't lose everything. You might have to go back to an earlier part in the project. You might lose some or all of your work, but you won't lose your original content. And that's the thing that you really want to stay away from. So just make sure you sort of back up as you go. Going back to the original idea, though, that our cameras shoot excellent video, they do. But, you know, finishing it off is a little bit more difficult. Go ahead and capture some stuff. Take a whack at, you know, one or more of these apps that I talk about. Get something finished and then share it with people and see what they say. You might end up shooting more video with your camera and join, apparently, this party that's going on all around us. Sony to debut a new line of compact full-frame cameras starting this month. And then it says colon report. I'm going to say colon rumor, all right? Colon rumor. You can read the entire article on Petapixel. I have a link. So rumor has it, everything I'm going to tell you right now, rumor has it that Sony is going to introduce a new line of compact full-frame cameras. If they do this successfully, man, oh man, look out, right? I mean, they're already a handful. Everyone's kind of moving toward releasing an entry-level camera or a camera that's a little bit smaller that's in the full-frame bracket. Let me read you what Sony is up to according to these reports. Alrighty. Sony might have some interesting gear in the works. According to the latest rumors, the company is planning to debut a new line of super compact full-frame A7 and A9 cameras aimed at vlogging and travel. And the first one, dubbed the Sony A7C, will arrive this month. According to Sony Alpha rumors, two reliable sources have confirmed speculation that Sony is planning to release a new entry-level full-frame camera this month, but they actually said a lot more than that. Apparently, the camera will be part of a new line of super compact C cameras that will live alongside the regular A7 and A9s. The first to arrive will be the Sony A7C, an entry-level model, on par with the Sony A7 III, but other C cameras are rumored to follow, creating a whole line of compact cameras aimed at vloggers and travel shooters who prioritize features like a flip screen. The first camera, the so-called Sony A7C, is rumored to arrive sometime in mid-September as a sort of hybrid between the A7 III and the A6600. According to SAR, the camera will combine the body of an A6600 with the sensor and performance of an A7 III, the fully articulating screen of an A7S III, and the pop-up EVF like we've seen on several RX100 cameras. My word! Last paragraph from them. Other specs include a single SD card slot, USB Type-C, both a mic and a headphone jack, built-in Wi-Fi, and Bluetooth. All this for a little more than $2,000 MSRP at launch. Finally, the C line of cameras will allegedly be released alongside a new line of compact lenses to match. Oh, wow. Alrighty. So this is something that I think is definitely worth watching. And, you know, that last line there, a new line of compact lenses to match. So you get a compact line of full-frame cameras based on technology that's already proven. And if the price tag is not too high, that is going to be something to contend with. So keep an eye out. Apparently, we don't have long to wait if this rumor is true, and we may be talking in more detail about these sometimes later this month. Brand new release from me, how to get started with a vinyl record. So I finished this title and it took a lot longer than I thought it would take, but I have to tell you, I enjoyed every step of the way. So basically what this is, how to get started with vinyl records, is for those who are interested in getting back into vinyl, or for those who are already into vinyl and just, you know, want to celebrate it and maybe pick up a few tips along the way. So I started out talking about stereo hi-fi gear, which there is a ton of it on the used market that you can get relatively cheap compared to, you know, what we're used to paying for electronics. So you put together a stereo receiver and amp, right? You get some speakers, and then you get a turntable. Now, of those three major components, the turntable is the one thing that I recommend buying brand new. And I have a recommendation for that only costs $120. And the reason why I recommend going with a brand new turntable is because then you get that built-in digitizer with the USB cable, so that you could plug the turntable not only into your stereo hi-fi system for great listening, but you can also plug that turntable directly into your computer to back up your albums, to digitize them. And that is a very nice convenience. But in terms of the amp and the speakers, I really get into how do you set it all up? How do you wire your speakers? You know, to make sure that you have your speaker polarity correct, make sure you get the impedance matching, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's really fun. And these vintage amps just look great and they sound wonderful. So that's the first part of this video, is getting into that gear. Then I get into the vinyl itself, the records. You know, what's the difference out on the market between buying new ones and used ones? Where should you buy the used ones? Where can you buy the new ones if you want to do that? What should you look for? The different types of vinyl that are out there. You know, there's 180 gram records. There's 120 gram records. There's all these different things. All of this is great fun, but it really helps to know, you know, what's going on with all of this. So I talk about that. I talk about care. I talk about cleaning records that maybe you get from a garage sale or something like that, and what to look for in those records. So I get into all of that. And then the third phase of this 1 hour online course is digitizing these albums so that you can not only listen to them at home in front of your stereo hi-fi setup, but you can have them on your phone, on your smartphone or on your tablet, and put in some earbuds. And when you're out for a walk or you're at the beach or something, you can also listen to your vinyl music so that it isn't landlocked at home, connected to your turntable and your hi-fi system. So I get in how to do that and the tools that you need for that. So it covers basically, I think, all the stuff that you need to know to either get started or to take the record collection that you already have that you're not really tapping into and maybe start tapping into it. Maybe start digitizing some of this stuff, or maybe make an upgrade to a component or whatever. I really like this online course. I think it's very enjoyable. And now, especially when a lot of us are spending more time at home, music is one of the things that's really helped me get through this period of time without going crazy, without going nuts. If you're interested in this at all, I have a link to the trailer in the show notes here. You can go to thenimblephotographer.com, click on workshops. It'll be there along with my other online courses. You know, I have an online course on CDs, I have an online course on digitizing family memories, I have an online course on video conferencing like a pro. Yeah, I've been busy lately. I've got a lot of good stuff for you there. So go over to thenimblephotographer.com, take a look at it. This vinyl thing is fun, and I'm just going to leave it right there. Okay, let's take care of a little virtual camera club business. First of all, I want to give a shout out to our Inner Circle members. These are the folks that support this community and this podcast month in and month out. could not do it without them, and I'm so happy to have them, not only for their financial support, but also because they are such a great group of artists to bounce ideas off. And then they keep me motivated to keep producing new stuff for them to look at and for our entire community. So they are just so helpful on so many levels. Thank you, Inner Circle members, for your support. I truly appreciate it. And if you want to become part of this elite group of artists, then all you have to do is go to thedigitalstory.com, look for the Patreon tile that's on every page, click on it. That'll take you over to our Patreon site. And if you like what you see, then you can join us, and then you too will be an Inner Circle member and have a very special place in my heart. We have B&H and Amazon tiles on all the pages of The Digital Story. They're in that second column. When I talk about, you know, gear and a new Sony camera, Audio-Technica turntable, all that kind of stuff, if you're going to add that to your toolbox of tricks, then if you would go to The Digital Story first, depending on where you're going to get it, either at Amazon or B&H, click on those tiles first. That'll take you over to the site, and then you can search and find whatever you want. When I do links in the show notes or in articles to specific pieces of equipment, those are affiliate links, so you don't have to do anything extra. If you click on the link and it takes you to B&H, then that is an affiliate link. You don't have to do anything extra. By doing that, you help support the show, and it doesn't cost you a penny more. And I so appreciate those of you who take that extra step to help support this podcast. Thank you very much. And finally, a huge shout out to our friends at Red River Paper, our longest running sponsor. They are the folks. They are the folks that provide everything that you need to know about inkjet printing in terms of tutorials, in terms of reviews, in terms of paper, in terms of ink. They have it all. They're the only ones that I use. I have to tell you right now, I get requests for prints all the time. And now people say, and then what kind of Red River stock are you going to put it on? Right? I love that. And I'm sure Red River Paper loves it as well. We have a tile on all the pages of The Digital Story. Click on it. That'll take you over to our landing page at Red River Paper. And you can nose around from there. They also have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/Red River Paper. A big thanks to them for supporting this podcast. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope you shoot some video and then find a cool way to edit it. I've got more neat things in the works. Come back and join me next week. Until then, have a great week. Be creative. Stay safe. Bye-bye now.